All right, we're continuing our series, The In-Between of Me, Romans 5 through 8. Here's a book that has blessed me. I picked it up again for this series, and I read it a while ago. There are a lot of weird ideas out there about how to live in the in-between. What do we do with this sinful nature? From books that say we don't have a sinful nature anymore, to books that say it's all the devil. This is a book that's balanced, informative, and easy to understand. Okay, this book is called Free at Last, Experiencing True Freedom Through Your Identity in Christ by Tony Evans. He's a professor and a pastor in Dallas, and he is black, so that Free at Last is on purpose. And he links a lot of it to American slavery. And really, there are a lot of correlations between how we can respond to our new life in Christ compared to our old life in our sinful nature, the same way that slaves, after being freed, would still sometimes respond as if they were still slaves, even though they were free. And so this is a really good book. So you can peruse it later. You can pick it up at Salem probably, or you can order it. It is the most balanced book I've found, because I will tell you right now, there's a lot of garbage out there. If you want to know what the garbage is, I'll tell you, but I'd rather promote good things than tell you what to avoid if I can help it. So anyway, that GM illustration, that came from his book. He explains it way better than I do, though, okay? We're continuing our series tonight on The In-Between of Me, and if you're just showing up now, you've missed a lot, and so I apologize. I'll try to backfill a little bit, but you're going to have to kind of curve up and get your small group later to explain where we're coming from. Or you can read Romans 5 through 8. And it'll kind of give you an idea. But we've been unpacking those verses because they address the issue of the journey of going from before knowing Christ, and what that meant for us, both positionally before a holy God, but also practically in how we lived our lives, what we were about. Really, we were dead in our sins, and we were enemies to God. And we've been going through this journey that Paul expounds in Romans about what Christ on the cross has done for us in removing the anonymity between us and God, reconciling us to Him, but also paying the penalty of our sin, our falling short of the law of God, which means death, and leads to death in our sin. Christ both made it possible for us to die to our sin, the effects of our sin, both in the present and ultimately in the future, death, but also our death in Him. We died to the law, i.e. the thing that was condemning us, in the sense that because of our sinful nature, we could not keep the law that was good. And so instead of being a good thing, all it did was show us what was wrong with us. Christ fulfilled the law so that, as we looked at last week, we can now have the law fully met in us. One, because positionally, when God looks at us, He sees the righteousness of Christ. But also practically, Christ's Spirit now works through us to live righteously. So not only do we have a right standing before God, a righteousness of Christ that we are clothed in, we also now can live out that righteousness in our lives by His Spirit. Tonight we're going to continue this journey of what it means to live life in the Spirit. And I've called it living the new way, because like we looked at last week, well, really all of the weeks, the frustration that comes from the in-between. And by the way, the in-between is once saved by Christ, but not fully living totally righteously. What's happened is there is this disproportion between who we are positionally in Christ, which is totally holy, totally pure, totally righteous, totally meeting the standards of God in every way. And then practically, we fall short, don't we? And that's the in-between, where who we are is a lot less than how we are. And there's a tension if the Spirit of God lives in you, because there is a almost greater awareness the closer and longer you live before Christ and come into his presence, that you realize the disparity between who we are positionally in Christ and practically where we are, because we still have this thing called a sinful nature. And though we are dead to it, it seems very much alive at times. The old way of trying to deal with our sinful nature goes two ways. One is to just white flag. If it feels good, do it, even if you shouldn't. I'm getting old. That's getting to be an old song now, isn't it? It's classic, one of my favorites. I'm joking, okay? The other is we try to live the law. So we either try to say there is no law, there is no standard, and our world really fights this way, especially in North America. There are no standards, and we'll just keep cutting it down until we're at the lowest common denominator and everybody feels good about everything they think and do. Or, and this is where the majority of the world is, we come up with a whole bunch of creative ways to make ourselves good enough for God, whatever our definition of God might be. What is it about human nature that wants to do one or the other? I think it's because we've been created in the image of God. And the beginning of Romans talks about this, about how we deny the truth of God. We deny his righteousness and his power. We deny it. We suppress it. We don't like it. And even as Christians, though we don't go that way, we've turned to Christ as the one who is the fulfiller of God's righteousness and standards. That the bar is way up here, but we're not trusting in ourselves or some kind of system to get us up here. We trust in Christ and Christ alone. And we turn our back on trying to lower the bar, but at the same time, we don't live our lives trying to please God by reaching the bar. We come under the bar of Christ and say, this is where I am. And more than that, where we are now in the in-between is the Spirit is coming up behind and he is saying, yeah, the bar is here. And guess what? I am lifting you up. And over the journey of your life, from when you've been born again until you die and are born again, I am lifting you up so that practically you are positionally. Make sense? But what does that look like in the day to day? We've got that tension of the in-between of me, who I am to who God wants me to be. What does that look like? The old way doesn't work. It doesn't work. We're fooling ourselves if we think we could just drop the standards arbitrarily. And we're really fooling ourselves if we think we can somehow earn our way there. Because here's the deal. We're already starting at a default. How do you make $1 million when you owe an infinite amount of money? You can't. You can never. It's like Greece. Okay? It's just impossible. Tonight, Paul is going to get into this new way, even more than what we talked about last week, about how we live in the Spirit, how we cooperate with Him, about how He is lifting us up to practically meet where we are positionally in Christ. And what we'll see is that debt that has been paid, in the in-between, there is still that tension because that sinful nature is still there. And like Chucky, it just doesn't want to die. Or Jaws, pick your horror movie, okay? Let me pray. We're going to jump in. That whole debt thing wasn't my idea. It actually comes right out of our text tonight. Because see, in the in-between of me, that sinful nature that won't let go, and that old way of trying to do things this way is in a constant battle with the new way. And we can feel in debt when we aren't. We can feel immobilized when we shouldn't. And I don't know about you, but I am most scared when I feel stuck. And too often for the children of God, when it comes to our relationship with God and our movement towards practically being what positionally Christ has done for us, we often feel stuck in the in-between of me. And so tonight, some of us are going to get unstuck. Some of us are going to continue to shoot up. And some of us are going to begin that journey of journeying with the Spirit into who God wants us to be. I've already given away my two main points in the title, but we're going to unpack it from the passage tonight because in my idea, this comes out of Romans 8. Let's pray. We'll read it together. Father God, I thank you for these great truths that we're learning about. And confess, you know, we can talk about them, we can use the words, we can even read them off the page, but in some ways they are just expressing grand realities that we are trying to articulate, that Paul put down on paper by your Spirit. And so tonight I pray as we talk, as we speak, as we think, as we interact with your word, and as we encourage one another later in small groups, I just pray that your Spirit would reveal to us these deep truths in a way that not only makes sense, but moves us to cooperate with your Spirit and to live out these wonderful things that you have given to us in Christ and then revealed to us in your word. That we might continue to move, that our lives might reflect day to day what is true for eternity in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So you got your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 8. We are moving into my favorite part of the whole entire Bible. We're not there yet, other than the book of Ecclesiastes, which, by the way, is one great book. Mess you up, but it's a great book. Read the end first and then go back. That was free. Okay, it has nothing to do with tonight. Here we go. You ready? 8:12. Therefore, brothers, the word there, brothers and sisters, okay? Girls, you're included in this. Therefore, people, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Why? Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul is just coming out of what we looked at last week. And really, it began at the end of chapter 7. Remember chapter 7, this whole battle of the in-between of me and trying to live as the new me, the old way. Because the new me understands that God's law is good, right? The old me didn't think God's law was good, but the new me in Christ understands that God's word is good. No matter where you are, if you've accepted Christ, no matter where you are on the holiness chart, if I said to you, is this good? Does the things that God wants us to do, are those good? You'd be like, yeah, those are good. No matter how good you are at keeping it, you know it's good. And Paul even says that. He goes, in my mind, I know it's good. The fact that I break it and still say it's good shows that I know it's good. But the end of chapter 7, trying to go the old way as the new me, I know it's good. And so the old way was, well, the old way I couldn't do it because the old me didn't think it was good. Well, maybe it's the new me now that I think it's good. Then maybe that's the way now that I know it's good, I should try to use the law to get to God because at least now I know it's good. Wrong! Because we still have a sinful nature. That old you is still kind of there, and it's hanging on, and it loves the law. And you'd be like, why does it love the law? This is all backfill for some of you. And for others, this is brand new. This is kind of rehearsal of everything we've done so far, okay? Why does the sin nature like the law? Because the law is good. Why would the sin nature like the law? Here's why. Because the law can't be kept. It can't be kept. Your sin nature is attracted to it in the same way my son is attracted to the remote control. Joel, don't touch the remote control. But it's got buttons. Don't touch the remote. Now he's on our fireplace. We have one of those gas fireplaces. You know the bottom of it that kind of you fold down so you can adjust the fan and stuff? Little punk is getting in there now. Like, it's one thing to change the channel. It's another to blow up our house. And our sin nature sees the law and it just gets agitated by it. And more than that, the wages of sin is death. Sin kills. And what's even better than sin destroying you by what sin actually does is to take something good and use it to hang over your head and make sure it does. Because not only now is it killing you from the inside, it's going to kill you from the outside because it's right. Sorry, you're a good kid. Okay? It's like being on death row for a crime you did commit and at the same time every day being a heroin addict. Sin is killing you on its own. And the law is like the thing that you deserve. That's why sin loves the law. And so he says, therefore, this therefore is coming out of all of that. Mostly and definitely it's coming after what's just happened, because Paul finished last week, or I finished last week, what Paul was talking about in verses 9 to 11. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. He goes on to talk about in verse 10, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Remember, we talked about that. We are dead. We are dead men and women walking in our sin. Now, in the NIV, it says, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Literally in the Greek, it is the Spirit, yet the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And I side with most commentators who would say that the NIV has tried to link your and make it body, spirit. Okay? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that our spirit is life. There's one spirit that is life. It is God's spirit, Christ's spirit. The Holy Spirit is life. The Holy Spirit is life because of righteousness. You could say that the Holy Spirit is life for us because of righteousness. It's like your body is dead. The sinful nature is dead man walking. It cannot save you. In John 6, Jesus says the spirit is life. The sinful nature or the flesh is useless. Okay? And so what Paul is reiterating what Jesus has said. Look, your body is dead because of sin. That's not the way to live. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Again, is it talking about right standing before God or is it talking about right living? I think it's talking about both. Because of our right standing in Christ, we are now able to live life by the Spirit, which is right living. Since God's Spirit lives in us, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. And then Paul goes on this crazy tangent. It's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. The word for obligation there could be translated duty or owing, okay? It's debt. We have a debt. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have a debt. But it's not to the sinful nature. It's not. It's like he stops. He's going to say the positive or what it is, but instead he says the negative and he goes on for a little while. But here's where it matters right now for you and for me in the in-between. Here it is. In the in-between, I don't need to fear the sinful nature. I do not need to fear the sinful nature in the in-between. How do we fear the sinful nature? It goes two ways. One is we fear the sinful nature because then this is why we get immobilized. Ah, what a wretched man that I am. I sinned again. And we get afraid of our sinful nature, like this thing inside of us is like a parasite and just like. But more than that, I think the fear comes not just from the sinful nature in and of itself, but because in the in-between we have this sinful nature and the accuser reminds us of how short we fall from God's standards, how far away we are. And we get afraid of a holy God because the new us understands that the law is good. The new God, the new us understands that God is good. The new us understands what God's requirements for us are. But the old nature says, hey, there's a debt. There's a debt here. And so often in the in-between, what do? When that comes, we go back to trying the old way of trying to pay off the debt. We either kind of cut it and say it doesn't exist, this really isn't that bad, and we try to negotiate our way around our behavior or whatever else, or we slip the bar right up here and I just got to kind of get the bar, I got to do better, I got to try harder, I got to. And Paul is saying, since the Spirit lives in you, you have a debt, but listen, it is not to the sinful nature. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. Paul has been teaching this all the way along about how Christ has paid that debt. I put it like this, you owe it nothing. Paul a little bit later says, look, you did not receive a spirit of fear. Some translations say you did not receive again a spirit of fear. Paul can't hit this home anymore. Romans 8:1, we looked at last week. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now. When is now? Well, now is verse 25. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. In the in-between, in the now, there is no condemnation. There is no spirit of fear. There is no debt to the sinful nature. And yet so often in the in-between, we are immobilized by fear. Fear of God's judgment, of God's wrath. fear of falling again, fear of being overtaken by our sin. All of these things just kind of scare us into not moving or trying the old way. I'm just going to cut it down, or I'm going to try harder. He says, no, you owe it nothing. You have a debt. It is not to the sinful nature. You owe it nothing. It's so funny about the sinful nature. We got cable right now because we got 3 months free with the Minto thing. Don't worry, this is going to come back. It's not all it's cracked up to be. There's this great show on cable. You might have heard of it. I just discovered it. It's really not good for my diet. I'm one of those people who saw Super Size Me and then went to McDonald's. Okay? It's called Man vs. Food. I am charting a road trip. Unbelievable. There's something inside of me. I've just eaten supper. I am full. I do not need to eat again. And I sit down and put on Man versus Food, and they're cooking a hamburger that's like this big, or he's got like ribs or whatever it is. And I'm just like, oh. There's this part of me, even though I'm full, even though I'm satisfied, I've eaten and everything's fine, there's this part of me that's like, ah. I don't know where that came from. That's the flesh. That's ribs, baby. That's what it does to me. You know you're only supposed to eat ribs once a year because of how bad the fat is for you? I know some of you are squirming in your seats right now because you're like, oh, I failed there. Anyway, the sinful nature is still there. And even though the debt's been paid, there is this part of it that is still aroused. That things that we know are wrong, we know. We even feel they're wrong, but there's this other part of it. And guys, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't even stand in line at the grocery store without your eyes catching things. And you know it's wrong. But then there's this other side of you that just kind of... And ladies, I hate to play on stereotypes, but more often than not, they're true. You see those same pictures, and then you analyze yourself, and you go, I don't even come up even close to that. Maybe I need to. There's this side of us, or you're sitting around, and somebody starts... And part of you saying, this isn't right. We shouldn't be talking about this person like this. We shouldn't be excluding this person like this. We shouldn't be judging this person like this. But there's a part of you that's like, oh, I need to hear this. Well, that's good. Oh. Well, I can add something to that. Did you see what happened on Facebook? Right? And we just go. We owe it nothing. In the spirit, we can say to that feeling, no, I don't owe you anything. It's like me watching Man versus Food and going, this is ridiculous. I am full. I ate. I do not need that. It will kill me. D.L. Moody has this illustration to talk about what we do when we try to rid ourselves of the sinful nature. The two options that we have. One will kill us and one will not. And that's where Paul goes, right? He says, look, if you live according to the sinful nature, if you exist in the sinful nature, what does it say? Verse 13, the beginning of verse 13. If you try to meet this debt that's already been paid by Christ, what will happen? You will die. He has this famous illustration. He took a tumbler. He took a glass. And he said, how do I get the air out of this glass to the audience? Somebody's like, suck it out. Brilliant. He taught children a lot. So, but I think this was an adult illustration. Suck it out. Okay, if it were possible to suck the air out of a cup, what would it do to the cup? Like, if you could put it in a vacuum to the point where you could just put so much pressure, what would it do to a glass cup? It would collapse on itself, right? It would kill it. That's Romans 7. You get it? That's Romans 7. That's why it doesn't work when we try to do it the old way, when we try to rid the sinful nature in our own strength the old way by trying to just rid out of it. We die. We can't do it. Moody goes, this is how you get rid of air in a cup. He took some water and he filled the cup. You get it? You get it? There is no fear. There is to be no fear against the sinful nature. We owe it nothing. And more than not having a spirit of fear, we have a spirit of sonship. Literally, it's adoption. We are children of God. Not only is the debt paid, but an infinite amount has been credited to your account. It's like going from owing money to a loan shark that you could never pay, and then all of a sudden being the president of a bank that doesn't print its own money, it actually has money. Okay, I know that illustration totally falls apart. Here's a better one. Rather than owing money to your Visa that you cannot pay, you are the son of the president of Visa. And you own all of Greece. I'm a child of God. God could have saved us. He didn't have to do anything. This is where I get those theological thinkings going on again. He didn't have to do anything, but he saved us. And he could have saved us without doing anything. But he sent his own son. We looked at that last week. But more than that, he didn't just save us by sending his own son. It got even more personal than that. He adopted us. He didn't just pay off our debt. He banked us. We get included. It's like not only did he keep us from being homeless, he invited us into his mansion. The word there would have been very familiar to the Romans. This idea of adoption or sonship was such a huge thing. So ladies, don't get upset with the word son. In his culture, this meant everything. And he uses the word children too, but when he's defining it, he says sons. Why? Because sons inherited everything. Adoption was a big thing. One commentator I wrote said that Caesar Augustus was adopted by Julius Caesar. What did he inherit? The whole known world. And Paul goes on in verse 17, say, look, we are heirs of God. If we're children of God, then we are heirs of God. And if we are heirs of God, then we are co-heirs with Christ, which means not only if we share in his suffering, but we'll share in his glory. And as we'll see in the weeks to come, that is crazy blessing. But in the here and the now and the in-between, there is no fear, not only because I don't owe the thing that I'm so afraid of in the negative sense, but I am loved by the other one that I'm so afraid of in the in-between because of my sinful nature, and that is a holy God. First John 3. Does anybody know 1 John 3? How great is the Father's love for us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. A little bit later in 1 John 4, it says, perfect love casts out all fear. When we come to grasp how much God loves us and what he has done for us in Christ, the fear dissipates. And in the in-between, the devil and our sinful nature keep reminding us of the debt that we owe and we cannot pay, and the falling down and everything else. And Paul is saying, no. We did not receive a spirit of fear. We received a spirit of sonship. And then what does it say? And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic for father. But it's the more personal word for father. Okay, don't get me wrong. It is not daddy. I know a lot of preachers talk about how it's daddy. The problem is we equate that to something here like sugar daddy. Daddy, I want another sports car. Daddy, oops. No. It's more like Papa from Paterfamilias, head of the house. So much love. So much safety. Because here's the thing. Real love is tough. Not just tough in the sense of doing the hard things. Real love is tough because at the end of the day, I don't want to run to a father that can't protect me. I want to be loved by a father that when I'm in his arms, I feel safe. If you've seen the Narnia series, you know what I'm talking about. Aslan is that perfect picture of someone who is soft and the children can nestle right up into his mane, but at the same time, that is a fierce, unpredictable, powerful lion. And why do we cry, Abba, Father? Put it in the context. Put it in the context. The in-between, the battle between who I am and who God wants me to be, the battle with the flesh, it's then we could cry, Abba, Father. We don't have a spirit of fear. In Hebrews, it says we could boldly approach the throne of grace. It is a throne. But we can go there because it's our Papa's throne. And so, we have two choices. We can live trying to repay a debt that we will never, ever repay, or we can share in an inheritance that is ours for eternity. We can repay a debt that we can't pay, or we can share in an inheritance that is ours for eternity. That's what it comes down to. And so in the in-between, we don't need to fear. Why? Because we owe the sinful nature nothing, and because we are God's children. Here's the second big thing. In the in-between of me, we just need to follow the Spirit's lead. Do you notice in verse 13 it says, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. Okay, so we don't live according to the sinful nature. We're not trying to fulfill that debt. We don't owe a debt to that. For if we live to the sinful nature, we will die. But, verse 13, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Why? Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Here's the deal. The indication that you are a child of God is you are led by the Spirit of God. Remember I talked about the Holy Spirit kind of pushing us up? Ryan kind of gave me this illustration today. And I'm thankful for it. That like when you talk about resisting the Holy Spirit, that's because the Holy Spirit is moving us towards holiness. It's kind of like, I put it this way, in the stage of sanctification, justification. Okay, you ever been to one of those car washes where you don't drive in and there's the lights? It's one of the old-fashioned ones where you have to get the wheel on the track. Aren't you glad that that isn't part of a driver's test? Anyway. So you get it on the track, okay? Here's the thing. This is an illustration for you that helped me. I'm slow, so maybe it'll help you, okay? What Christ did on the cross, when we receive by faith, we come into that track. We're good to go. The Holy Spirit is that track that pulls us. And where are we going? to get clean. We're going to the car wash, baby. Okay? That's sanctification. We'll get to glorification. That's when we're all clean and we're out the other side. Now, here's the thing. Being led by the Spirit. What happens when you're in that track if you're not neutral, but park? Duh. What happens if you put it into reverse? Let's not take the analogy too far, okay? But you understand what I'm saying. We can be led by the Spirit. Now, in Galatians 5:16, it says, keep in step with the Spirit, or walk with the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I put it like this. Death for life. Being led by the Spirit is death for life. How? Well, Romans says that we are to put to death the misdeeds of the body. How are we supposed to do that? Not by trying to suck the air out of the cup. It says by the Spirit. Now, the word for by there, the expression that's used there, is the same one that's used in 7:4 of Romans that talks about the us being dead to the law through Christ. So we put to death the misdeeds of the body through the Holy Spirit because we are led by the Holy Spirit. Death to life. We put to death the misdeeds of the body. Now, here's the thing. I don't think it's an aggressive attack, try to kill the sinful nature and the things of the body. I think what it more is just like how we don't attack the law to try and die to the law, but we died to the law through Christ, we approach dealing with the sinful nature through the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that look like? Like Galatians 5:16 says that we are to live in the Spirit so that we don't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. But what does that even mean? This is the nuts and bolts of the in-between and how we cooperate with the car wash. Here's the deal. Just a little bit earlier in Romans 8, last week we looked at it. It says those who exist in the Spirit have their minds set on the Spirit. They're tuned into that radio station. And so they desire what the Spirit desires. Well, what does the Spirit desire? You could go to the fruit of the Spirit if you wanted, and that's part of it. But more practically, what does it look like in our actual lives? How do we set our minds on what the Spirit desires? How do we set our mind on the Spirit? John 17, Jesus is praying, and he says, don't take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. And then he says, and sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Earlier on in John, he says the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. There is some way in which the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to implant in us and to lead us towards the things of God. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above. Philippians 4 says, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is right. On these things, think. If you look closely at the enemy and even at your own flesh, the battle happens based on truth and lies. That's why Jesus said, the truth will set you free. When Satan went after Jesus, he tried to do it by manipulating lies. Way back in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? Lies. And so we need to saturate ourselves with the truth, not in order to become holy, but so that we can be led by the Spirit of God. And so putting to death the misdeeds of the body is more like Galatians 5:16 in the sense that through the Spirit, while we are living in the Spirit, we do not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, here's the thing. If we don't gratify the desires of the sinful nature, it starts to starve. There's this ancient poem goes something like this. It's ancient because it sounds funny to me. Two natures beat within my breast. I don't use those words very often. The one is foul, the one is blessed. Don't use those words either. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. The one I feed will dominate. See, I think putting to death the misdeeds of the body is not so much about waging war on the flesh as much as it is living through the Spirit, being led, and that will put to death the misdeeds of the body. And if you track with me, I got some verses for you guys to look up in your small groups, but if you track with me, go back to Galatians and just look closely at the other time where Paul kind of talks about living for God, okay? It's by the Spirit, okay? Now go to 6 verse 8. If we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Now, look, verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. See, it's not about trying to fight the sinful nature. It's about turning. Think of Hebrews 12. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and fix your eyes on. Okay? So that's with the flesh. Think about how we're supposed to approach the devil. James 4. Right? But what's the first part? Submit to God. See, here's the thing. We so want to do it on our own, and God so wants to do it through us. Death for life. Let the Spirit lead you. Think about the times in your life where you were walking in step with the Spirit, when you were meditating on His Word, when you were hiding it in your heart, when you were spending time with God, how that manifested itself in your life. And think about the times when you're far away from God, when you're not spending time in His Word, when you're not spending time in prayer. Think of your life. Romans 8 says that the mind set on the Spirit, or set on the things of the Spirit, goes after the things, desires what the Spirit desires. And then it says the Spirit, mind, it's life, peace. This is what it means to live in the in-between. And there's one more thing, and this is the part that kind of stinks. I'll be quite honest. See, being led by the Spirit also means to suffer for glory. It's death for life, but it's also suffer for glory. You notice the end of verse 17. If we're children of God, then we're heirs. And if we're heirs of God, we're co-heirs with Christ. If indeed, now again, if could be since. Since indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, he's going to go on and talk more about glory. Glory there is talking about the risen Christ, the defeat of sin, the glorified body. It's over. We're on the other side of the car wash. But here's the thing. Anybody dare to go through a car wash not in a car? I'm not. Why? Have you ever, by accident or on purpose, just because you were curious, I get curious, taken a pressure water and put it on your skin? It's like a knife. Here's the thing. Getting clean, like really clean, can hurt. God disciplines the ones he loves. And so there is a suffering that comes. And again, in context here, it's not so much suffering as in persecution from the outside, though that is something that God says we will go through. If we follow Christ, we will be persecuted. Jesus even said it. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Okay, but here's the thing. In context here, I think it's talking more about the suffering of actually dying to ourselves. Jesus said, if you follow me, you must take up your cross. That's harsh. That hurts. Starving hurts. Like the man with the food thing, man versus food, it was hard enough to watch that full. I couldn't imagine trying to watch that hungry. I'd be like in the car on my way to Philadelphia for that cheesesteak, right? Like it would be ridiculous. When we follow the Spirit, when we are led by Him, when we are doing death for life, when we are putting to death the misdeeds of the body, there is a suffering that goes on. This is not masochism. Okay? It's not like the Da Vinci Code of beating ourselves, trying to get this. It's not like that at all. It's about starving the flesh. But here's the thing, the flesh hurts. Because see, when she says that, and right away I have a response, and I bite my tongue. That hurts. Because what I really want to do right now is latch out. You know what I'm talking about. Guys, when it's late at night and you're watching that show, you're flipping those channels, and all of a sudden something comes on, there's this part of you that goes, oh, that's really interesting. And it hurts, not like, oh, I really want to do that, but it hurts in the sense that to walk away from that, to not give in to that feeling that is there, it hurts. It is a deny. It is like when you are on a diet and people are eating chocolate cake in front of you. It hurts. Starve it. Starve it. Throw off the sin that easily entangles. Fix your eyes on Christ. Get your eyes off of yourself and get them on Christ. Get your eyes off of the sin and get your eyes on Christ. Get rise above it. Not in your own strength, in the Spirit's strength. How do we get rid of the sinful nature? Not by trying to suck it out, but by trying, not trying, allowing. Because how do I get through the car wash, people? What gear do I go into? Neutral. Allow the Spirit to lead. That pushing is happening. And that's why when you fight against it in the in-between, it is such a horrible, uncomfortable thing. I can always know when I am in a bad place, and I can tell when you guys are too. You know how? Because it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You feel miserable. And you feel uncomfortable. And it's not right. And it's not good. And it's just like, ah. Because you've gone out of sync with the track. And the thing is not to go back and try to scrub ourselves clean. It's about, let's get back into neutral. Let's keep going. Same with the dance illustration last week. I know it sounds kind of mystical, but that's the Spirit of God. And in a very unmystical way, feed on the Word of God. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts right in, and the Spirit uses the Word of God to lead us, to remind us, to encourage us, to comfort us. And when we don't have the Word of God with us, we do in our heads and our hearts, and He reminds us of it. And that's why verse 16, I love that. Right after we cry, Abba, Father, it says, God's Spirit testifies, it bears witness to our spirit that we are in fact God's children. And see, here's the thing. When things are going well, we have that. But here's the thing. If we would slow down long enough when things aren't going well, that tension and that hurt and everything else, there's also that voice, isn't there? What are you doing? Come back and dance with me. You're trying to take the lead. You're stepping on my feet. Maybe some of you are here tonight and you're like, I have real trouble with this. This is not clicking for me and I'm not getting it. Maybe you're like, yeah, you know what? I know exactly what it is that I am trying to battle on my own, and I need to turn the other way. God didn't leave us alone. We all have His Spirit. And we're here to encourage one another, to hold up each other, to pray for one another. We're hoping to start two new groups on Sunday mornings. If that doesn't work for you and you're really hurting for this, one, make it work. If you still can't make it work, come and talk to me and we'll figure out something else we can do. But there's going to be two groups, one for ladies and one for guys. We just find we can be more real, we can be more honest. And so if you want to kind of journey for the next semester and kind of just, you know what, I'm just going to share. I'm done playing games. I'm tired of kind of trying to do this on my own or keep in the dark, because here's the thing, the sinful nature and the devil love the dark. Because when you're by yourself, it's a lot easier to convince you of the lies. That's why people go crazy in solitary confinement. You don't know which way is up when you're by yourself in the dark. So come out of the dark. Larry will be around later. You can talk with him if you're a guy. Okay, and we'll get your email and we'll let you know when that's going to start. And sorry to spring this on you, Dorothy. Hopefully Larry talked to you while you were immobile. And you, ladies, you can talk with Dorothy. They're the two silvery head ones down there. That's on tape, baby. Okay? But you're not alone. You don't have to do it alone. Jesus came to give us rest, to give us an abundant life. And while the starving hurts, doesn't it feel good to get clean? Let me pray. Father, thank you that you have not left us alone. Lord Jesus, you said you'd send your Spirit to comfort us. You did. And so I thank you for Him who lives inside of us, your Spirit that moves us, leads us, cleans us. Father, help us to yield to your Spirit, to quit trying to clean our cup on our own, but to allow you to come in and take the place. So help us. Give us courage. Help us to stop listening to the lies and to turn to the truth. We cry out to you, Papa, would you help us? We want to feel safe. We know we are loved. Would you protect us? Would you do the work that you need to do? In Jesus' name, amen.